Hi, I'm Andrew Conry Murray, business editor at Network Computing, and welcome to this podcast on the strategic use of IT in emerging enterprises. I'm speaking today with Chuck Hudson, director of IT at Smith Drug Company, a billion-dollar distributor of pharmaceuticals headquartered in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Hi, Chuck. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me a little bit more about Smith Drug and what you do?
Okay, like you said, Smith Drug is a pharmaceutical distributor. We buy directly from the manufacturer, and we sell typically to hospitals and independent pharmacies. We don't sell to the chain drug stores. That's typically taken care of by the big guys. And we have two distribution centers, one in Spartanburg and one in Paragould, Arkansas. And like you said, we are $1 billion last year. Hopefully, we'll hit somewhere around $2 billion this year.
So overall, do you feel that IT is used strategically in your company? That is, do you feel like IT is a key partner in setting and meeting business goals?
Yeah, I really do. IT sits on the senior staff, and we're privy to any strategies and things that are that the CEO is looking at down the road, and typically he asked for our support and advice on whether or not we can make those strategies happen. So I think, yeah, we're definitely a strategic partner.
And how do you think it ended up that Smith Drug sees strategic value in IT? Is that sort of a function of executive culture, or have you worked to bring to executives' attention what IT can do for them?
Well, I think it's a little of both, but they had an advantage here because our CEO actually came up through sales of software. Mm-hmm. So he sees a value, and he knows what the value is in technology. And then on the other side of that, with us being a very flexible, the only way we can be flexible is through our software and our IT services.
Okay. So you really see IT as delivering a competitive advantage?
I do.
And can you give an example?
Okay. Certainly with Vocollect, and Vocollect is our voice-activated picking system that we put out in our warehouse. And what it allowed us to do is to increase productivity pretty substantially while reducing errors and not having to add people. We've increased our business over the past couple of years. Matter of fact, we grew 35% last year. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, we didn't have to add any additional people to handle the additional workload.
Now, is that an initiative that IT brought to the executives, or did the executives say, hey, we need to boost efficiency in the warehouse? How did that come about?
Actually, that was one that that IT brought to the executives and said that they had, and actually this was a guy in our group called, his name's Randy McConnell, and he actually saw the voice activated software at a trade show and thought, you know, this might be something that we could use out there, and we started researching it, and it ended up being a really good product for us. And now Vocollect is even stretching it out. We're going to stretch it out a little further because they want to get into the RFID technology. So they're going to do a pilot with us on RFID.
And it sounds like, so this initiative really came up the IT food chain.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes. Now, granted, it's not always like that. You know, we still have a lot of requests that come back in, you know, from management, because especially from the sales guys that are out in the field day to day, they have a lot of requests from different customers and so on, or they see something that another distributor is doing that we probably should do be doing. So they'll push that stuff back to us, which is good. I mean, we're not out in the field, so we don't we're not privy to that information unless they share it with us.
Sure, but there's obviously open dialogue between management and IT here.
Absolutely. We actually have a formal request system that we've put in place for just for that reason. And we also have a steering team that as these requests come in, we prioritize and we put a dollar value for the company, and the ones with the biggest impact on the either business, money, or productivity, they kind of rise to the top of the priorities.
Yeah, I'm curious, how did you present this voice-based ordering system to management? What kind of metrics did you bring to them to show what it was going to do?
Well, we weren't sure what it was going to do, to be honest with you. We had a pretty good idea that it would definitely affect productivity, mm-hmm. and we thought that it would probably reduce errors. And on this particular sale, it was more of a soft sell than a hard sell, to be honest with you, because we really didn't have any matrix to throw out there. We said, you know, we believe this will happen, and we think, you know, we're pretty sure it's going to happen, but, you know, we can't guarantee it. And actually fortunately for us, management said, okay, we're going to give you a shot at it. So it turned out being a good score for us.
So it sounds like you've established a level of trust with management that they can sort of accept your judgment without necessarily having hard numbers in front of them?
Absolutely.
So how is it that you were able to establish this level of trust between you and management so that they'll, you know, give you some free rein to try out, you know, new strategies?
Typically, the level of trust comes from previous things that we've done. We've had some successes. We've had, a couple of failures, but not many, but mostly successes. And, fortunately for us, we've got a CEO that, like I said, comes from a technical type background, and he sees the value in a good IT group and what they can do. So he's probably of, and I've worked at a couple of different companies. He's probably the best at offering trust to the IT group and believing what we're telling him on what we can do than any other CEO that I've been involved with.
Let's talk about some of the other IT challenges you're facing. Can you talk about pedigrees?
Yeah, that's a big challenge right now, and I think it is for any distribution.
And first, could you maybe explain what a pedigree is?
Okay, e-pedigree has been mandated now, I think, by the FDA, but a couple of states are pushing it. Florida, in particular, who will start the 1st of July on their e-pedigree. But what it means is that we have to pass information from. It really should start at the manufacturer, but it doesn't. Florida's law dictates that it start at the distribution center. Mm-hmm. And so what we have to do is we have to track every item and lot number that comes from the manufacturer through our system and then to the customer that we sold it to. And
the objective here is to prevent
counterfeit drugs.
Counterfeit drugs. Okay.
Yeah. Now, there is we may get a little bit of reprieve on in Florida because there's a last minute revision to the law that states if Jeb Bush will sign it, that states that we can put a comment on our invoice that says we buy directly from the manufacturer and only from the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And if he'll sign that, then we've got a little reprieve as far as we still have to track lot numbers coming in,
okay.
But we don't have to pass the pedigree.
Okay.
We just have to know that, yeah, we sold them that lot number. And so that's where this e-pedigree piece is. It's really about a couple of years too early. If RFID had taken off quicker and we were in the middle of RFID right now, the e-pedigree would be a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
Because the RFID is going to carry all the information that you need to track that item all the way through the supply chain.
Okay. But does this mean you'll have to be entering that information manually, or how?
In the beginning, we will. We're working with our vendors now to send us ASNs, advanced ship notices, mm-hmm. through EDI, which will carry the item and lot numbers. And if we can get them to start sending that, it'll make it easier at least to get the data into our systems.
Okay. And now, does each state have its own pedigree requirements?
Well, that's the way it looks right now. Like I said, Florida's got theirs going, or will have theirs going in July. California's next, and I think they pushed theirs out 1 year. California is a little bit different, though. They're making the manufacturer start the pedigree instead of the distributor, which means that they have to push down all the information to us, and then we just carry it across, which makes it easier on us, but makes it harder on them.
Right. But and I understand you distribute to pharmacies in 13 states?
Yeah, approximately 13 states, yes.
So that's potentially 13 different systems?
Exactly. Exactly. And, well, the thing is, I still think it's going to be hard to keep, you know, counterfeits out of the supply chain, because it really depends upon who the end pharmacist buys from.
Right.
Even if we pass pedigree. But yeah, and when you think about it though, you're talking about a lot of data, and especially when RFID comes on board, that's a serialized number for every product that comes out there, that passes through our building, and we have about 60,000 products that comes through, and we turn our inventory over 13 times a year. Hmm. So you're talking about a ton of data that we're going to have to keep out there somewhere.
So it also sounds like RFID is a key strategic technology for you.
It will be. As far as track and trace, it's perfect. It'll create efficiencies for us as far as inventory control and doing cycle counts and so on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're looking forward to it, but there currently are not any standards out there. Manufacturers are picking their own tags to go on their labels, mm-hmm. which some of them are, you know, high frequency, low frequency, passive, active. You know, and for us as a distributor that's going to be receiving this stuff in the door, you know, are we going to have a half a dozen different readers to you know, be able to read the product?
Right, right.
We really need, and I would hope it would be the FDA or somebody to set a standard and say, okay, everybody's going to use this kind of, you know, this tag, this frequency, and it's going to be passive or active or whatever, and that way we can just move forward quickly.
Do you know, are there any movements afoot in your industry to get something like this going?
Yeah, there's a couple of organizations that are working toward some type of standard, but I don't think they're close yet.
Okay. And I understand that when you were younger, you used to work as a delivery boy at your hometown pharmacy. Is that correct?
I sure did, yeah.
How long did you do that for?
Actually, I lied about my age. I was 14 at the time. When I first started at the, and the place is called Car Drug, and it was in Asheboro, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And, I was 14 at the time, and they started me behind the refreshment stand, you know, making hot dogs and hamburgers and chicken salad sandwiches or whatever.
Sure.
And then once I turned 16, they promoted me over to, the delivery guy. So I actually, they would fill prescriptions, and I would deliver them to the typically elderly or someone that was really sick and couldn't get out, mm-hmm. To their houses. And I got dog bit a couple of times, and you know, and had people try to chase me off because they didn't know who I was. But it was a fun job.
So is it still a coincidence that you're still in the business?
Well, yes, it is a coincidence, but it's even funnier than that, because as I was working at the drugstore, I really thought about being a pharmacist at some point in time, mm-hmm. and decided that it was too boring of work, and that's not something I wanted to do. So
so it sounds like you've got your hands full now then.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Chuck. This has been great.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.